Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And welcome to Life and Taxes. Andrew's in place. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
Okay. What do you have for us today?
Well, Ben, we're going to go with a little Celebrity Corner episode today.
Okay.
Our listeners may be familiar with Richard Harrison. They may not know him by that name. They may know him better as just the old man. And he's the old man on the show Pawn Stars.
Yeah, we actually talked about this earlier today. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting that you've discussed this matter. You know, I noticed, I don't know if it's my Twitter feed that I tend to get these type of stories because I'm searching these type of issues, but I tell you what, it really kind of hit the internet with regards to the fact that, you know, the old man passed away from Parkinson's complications at age 77, and his will has recently, in the last couple days, put on record, in the state of Nevada. And so for those of, and so what's important here, Ben, is that since his will's been put on record, there was an interesting provision in his will that, I think it's worth our time to go through and discuss, why the old man decided to put, a statement in his will that he did.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about that.
All right. So when he died, Ben, he had a spouse named Joanne. He actually had three children, Joseph the oldest, Rick Jr. and Christopher, and people will probably know Rick, more than likely. You may not know Joseph and Christopher because Rick's pretty much the star of the Pawn Stars show on the History Channel. And in his will, he left, Rick in charge, but he put a provision in there that said, I would like to express my love and affection for Christopher Keith Harrison. However, for purposes of this will, I have intentionally and with full knowledge failed to provide for him and his issue. So in effect, Ben, what that statement does is completely write Christopher and any children that Christopher has out of the will, and they will not be delineated as children or as grandchildren under the will.
Yeah, and that's what it means by and his issue.
That's exactly right. And his issue means that the kids are not provided for either. And Rick Jr. had a simple little statement and said he didn't want to comment on the matter. He said the family had previously discussed this information and it's a private matter. And, you know, that led me to believe, you know, with our first discussion of this writing a child out of a will, you know, the public versus the private nature of certain estate planning documents. And so bear in mind, when we draft a will for you and you execute it, that will is, once you pass away, is going to be admitted for probate in the court system. And so, just as you see here, the reason that we're discussing this matter, Ben, right now, is because this document became public record once his will was put on record in Nevada. And so that's, you know, that's one of the things that the will brings to the table, which is, you get to dispose of your assets, you have court supervision, but it does become a public document that can lead to, you know, this information coming out. For instance, if you're a celebrity, you know, individuals will be able to discuss, oh, my gosh, you left a kid, a child out of his will. How could he have handled this a little bit different? In this particular regard, Bennett would have probably been a good idea for the old man to leave behind a trust. He could have done what we call a pour-over will, which is just basically to pour over all of his assets into a trust. And then the executor's responsibility would be to get the assets of the estate over to this trust, but the terms of the trust remain private. And so we, you know, assuming he would have done this type of scenario, Ben, you and I would have never known that he left Christopher out of his will unless Christopher challenged the document, the trust document, and we learned that he was actually omitted from the trust. But absent that issue, this never would have come to light.
Yes, and now Christopher Harrison was not part of the show. A lot of people were wondering, is that Chumley? No, that Chumley was a different. He wasn't related. Christopher was not part of the show, so we don't really know anything about him, and we don't know what that issue might have been.
That's right. You know, one thing I'll say is I did notice that Corey said, who's on the show, who's Rick's son, said that, you know, Christopher hadn't been around. He hadn't seen him for 20 years. You know, now whether that's true or not, who knows? But, you know, that may show you there. And a lot of times that does happen, Ben, where you have an individual who, you know, he loves all of his children, but maybe one of them has been absent from his life for a prolonged period of time. And, you know, you want to make, you want to add some of this language in there, and such as the old man did, which is basically, look, I love you, but I'm not going to provide for you in this will. You know, and that's important. And we'll get into why this is important. It's because when someone goes to challenge a will, Ben, there's two different criteria for challenging a will. One is, lack of testamentary capacity. And the second is undue influence. And when we look at lack of testamentary capacity, we've got certain elements where an individual needs to be able to understand the kind and nature and extent of their property. They need to understand the natural objects of their bounty, and they need to understand the legal consequences of making a will. And so it's very important, you know, people may be surprised. Why would he, you know, acknowledge Christopher up front in this will, but then not provide for him? It's important for the old man to do this. And the reason for it is because he needs to tell everyone, look, I know I had three children. I understand that they are the natural objects of my bounty. They're the ones who would inherit my estate. But for reasons that, you know, are my reasons, I'm not going to provide for Christopher in this regard. And so therefore he's acknowledging that he's his son, but he's making sure that he specifically gets out there. Because remember, Ben, once you're no longer with us, you can't speak. You can't speak for us. And so the only way to really speak and tell someone, you know, look, I recognize that he's my child, not going to provide for him, is to insert it, you know, into your estate planning documents and let them know this.
Now, let me ask you then, the extent of his capacity is at the time he executes the will, the time he writes it, right? Not when he is near death.
That's correct. Yeah. So this will was actually signed in 2017, which was, you know, only a year ago. And, you know, the old man died from complications of Parkinson's. So, you know, certainly what I'd say is, you know, if you're on Christopher's side, if you're sitting there, you know, Christopher comes to see me and says, what do we got here? Well, I'm like, well, he had Parkinson's. The will was only done in 2017, so it's very recent. You know, let's get those medical records and let's see what, you know, the state of his mental capacity could have been in 2017 when he actually executed this will, to see if, you know, challenging it could be a thing to do. The problem there, Ben, is that in order to get those documents and get those records, you pretty much have to file the caveat action. You have to file that challenge to the will to be able to get those records through discovery, so you can make the determination, you know, whether or not, what you're going to be your central tenet here. What is going to be your argument with regards to his capacity?
Now, the family is saying that they discussed this, but of course they're saying this now after the fact.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, certainly, like I said before, it's one of those things we'll see. You know, this is one of those that the will just got put on record a few days ago. You know, will we hear of later a challenge being made, by Christopher? And bear in mind, Ben, this is going to play out in the courts and will be public record, and we'll be able to follow along with it as well.
And on that score, I mean, obviously, if he said they've been estranged for some 20 years, hadn't seen him, the show hasn't been around that long. So when the show has come up, he probably gets wind of it, and you would think they would have some interaction, but maybe not.
Maybe not. Exactly. You know, and then you get into some of maybe the undue influence type arguments, such as that, you know, the fact that he hasn't been around. You know, the other ones, did Rick, did Joanne, did Joseph, you know, talk the old man into, you know, getting writing Christopher out of the will. You know, and are there enough elements there to meet that type of claim? You know, who knows? But it's very early in the process, but all we know is that from the record, from the documents that's been put on record, that Christopher is written out of the will.
Would it be relevant, if you were Christopher's attorney, would it be relevant to find or try to obtain a copy of a previous will?
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of the articles that mentioned this and cited this will said that the previous will likely, you know, had all three in there. And the reason for that, Ben, is because, you know, the change is so very recent in 2017, you know, and if Christopher would have been omitted from the prior will, it's unlikely that he would have made that change in 2017. You know, but you don't know. There could have been other dispositions in there that he wanted to update or amend. But yeah, I mean, it certainly would be very relevant, Ben, as to what his prior estate planning documents said. The last thing I wanted to discuss is the possibility of a no contest clause. So some of our clients, are interested in, you know, hey, look, if I'm going to, you know, write one of my children or close relatives out of a will, maybe I want to, you know, put a little meat on the bone and say, if you don't challenge this will, then you're going to get, you know, a set amount of money. For instance, right. You know, let's just say $50,000. I'm going to give you $50,000. However, if you challenge the will, you get a dollar or you get nothing, you know, something to that effect. And, you know, what I wanted to mention, Ben, is this could be a useful tool depending on the circumstances and situations because, you know, you do give them incentive not to challenge the will and to leave it alone. However, I will tell you that the North Carolina Supreme Court has said that, you know, if you bring a challenge to the will, you bring this caveat action and it's brought in good faith and with probable cause, they will not enforce the no contest clause in the will. So, you know, it's kind of a case by case basis as to whether this is a useful tool or not, but I certainly think it does have some merit and could have been useful in this situation for the old man.
You want to settle your estate and make that sure that your estate documents are correct, then call on Andrew Foster at Harvelli Collins Attorneys of Law or call on any of the attorneys there, too. Go to afoster@harvellicollins.com or the website harvellicollins.com.